Reverend Jim McCarthy, who used to come to our in retirement. He's died, very staunch Catholic Protestant, and his wife Maureen McCafferty, wasn't it? And very Irish, very at Christmas time we could not have coloured candles in the church, in the windowsills, they all had to be white. Anything red was too Catholic, too, you know. When they died, they got all colours now, aren't they? But that's another. And here's the minister, Jim McCarthy, who always used to have in Golden Bells, we had the Golden Bells hymn book, if those of a certain age, 111, or is it in this one? Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. But and our boys were just small then, and his Irish accent, our son, older son, is called Wesley, our Wes, and he'd say, Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. He felt so inadequate, didn't he, really? But that was, forgive our foolish ways. Well, Jim McCarthy, he stood up to preach one time, and he said, Before I speak, I'd just like to say, Now you think about that. Before I begin speaking, I'd just like to, well, that's what I, before I preach, I just want to say something. Our title that was given to me anyway, but is Living by Faith. That's the title of our passage. In the Bible, it's Paul opposes Peter in the passage that Marge read, but the title that we've been given to look at is Living by Faith. And we might think, well, that doesn't apply to me then. This applies to those missionaries, those who go out and those special people that God calls to give up home and even later in life to give up work. That's a big thing to and be called into ministry even, to give up a regular income, to fund yourself through Bible college, through training. And you're living by faith, you're living. And there are two ways of looking at that. How do I fund myself? Do I? And there's two schools of thought. The one thought is, well, you tell the Lord, full stop. And the second theme is, well, you tell the Lord and the Lord's people. And that's equally valid. You tell. Someone defined it as preaching loudly outside the open window of a rich widow. Well, not much faith in that. But people, we read stories of people like George Muller of Bristol. George Muller ran the orphanages there, and no source of income really other than goodwill. And George Muller, the stories get better for telling, really, that one day there was no breakfast for the orphans. They were all sat at the, there was the knives and forks and the bowls and everything there, but there was no food. And George Muller said, well, we're living by faith, let's pray, let's put our faith into practice. And they began, and with that, the milk cart, it wasn't express dairies, it was horse and cart deliveries of milk. And there was a knock on that because the milkman came in and he said, the horse has just bolted. And he said, these churns of milk, he said, I've salvaged some of the milk in the churns. Can you, there's three half churns of milk. And they had porridge for breakfast. Wasn't that wonderful? Made with real milk, not just with water. And the Lord provided through that. And we read stories, and sometimes preachers tell stories of how the Lord has marvellously and intervened and provided for them. And it's lovely when that happens. Let me tell you, it doesn't always happen like that. It doesn't always, you pray and you get what you want, but you pray and God provides what you need, as Darren prayed. In the vestry, we are provided for by the Lord. What I'm saying before I speak then is, this is not for those, this is for all of us, living by faith. Living by faith, and another word for faith is belief, trust, and we are to live our lives not just like the special people, the missionaries, those who live really trusting. We too are to really trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, let's get on with it then. Paul opposes Peter. Get into it straight away, verse 11 that Marge read for us. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. What a welcome he got, didn't he? I opposed him now as a male and as a husband. I know something of that when you come home from work and you get a post to the face. You left the lid off the toothpaste. You know. No, it's not quite like that. The bruising takes about 3 weeks to... what a welcome he got, didn't he? I opposed him to his face. But what's all that about? Well, verse 12 tells us. It says, if you're following it through in your Bible, Marge read this for us, he used to mix with the Gentiles. He used to eat with the Gentiles. But when certain men from James was the archbishop, if you like, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, the archbishop of Canterbury, the archbishop of Jerusalem, you know, the main man, I nearly said Pope then, but, you know, the main man in Jerusalem, some of his men came from Jerusalem, and, it says in verse 12, he separated himself from them. He didn't eat with them anymore. He stopped mixing with them. And that's basically why he... Peter, a Jew, was mixing with Gentiles, but when other Jews appeared, Peter stopped mixing with them. And so Paul called him out, and he says in verse 13, he says, hypocrisy. That, Peter, is hypocrisy. He called it out. And what's more, other Jews were involved in this same, even men of the caliber of Barnabas, all stopped mixing. They were all guilty of this same hypocrisy. Now we need to wind back to understand, this is why I gave that little bit of background at the start, we need a little bit further background really. Why was he eating with Gentiles in the first place? Peter was a strict Jew. Now why was he eating with Gentiles? They don't mix. The Jews and Gentiles, it's like, I nearly said Bristol City and Bristol Rovers. You know, it's like Biddeford football and basketball. They just don't mix. They just don't do it. Now, the Acts of the Apostles helps us. And I know it's a bit, we need bright minds, as it says on the, you know, we need to get our brains in gear. But if we go back to the Acts of the Apostles, I said in chapter 15 they had a council. They had a special church members meeting to discuss this problem. But in Acts 10, they hadn't had the... When Galatians was being written, they hadn't had the council, the reference, the decision as to what, whether they could eat or they couldn't eat. So in Acts chapter 10, and verse 9 says... I think we might have some verses up there, might we, Andy? Or we have. Look at that. It says about noon, about now, if you like, the heat of the day. About very similar today. And they were praying. Peter went to the roof to pray, like we're here, about noon, about pray. He got hungry, thinking about his dinner, perhaps like us. About noon, heat of the day, thinking about our dinner. And he fell asleep. Oh, no, it's not quite like a visual aid here. We have awoken. He fell asleep, and he had a voice. He began to daydream, and he had a vision, and a large sheet of food came down. Have I given the right verse? What's verse 12 say then? Did I not give you verse 12? Never mind, we haven't got verse 12. A large vision came down, and in it was all sorts of animals, reptiles, birds, and it was a... Peter clearly wasn't a vegetarian, apologies to any vegans here, but, you know, there was animals, and he was told, get up, kill, and eat. Get up, Peter, kill, eat, have a mixed grill. You know, there's all this meat and food here, you get up. And Peter's strong reply in verse 14 was, surely not, I have never eaten anything unclean, impure, or unclean. I'm a strict Jew. He's talking to, and it's a dream, it's a vision, and he said, I've never eaten anything unclean. I'm a strict Jew. I've stuck to all the laws, all the customs. And the Lord, in verse 15, rebuked him and said, how dare you call anything impure that God has made clean. How dare you say that anything I've made is unclean. With that, There was a knock on the door, and Peter woke up out of his dream. He woke up, and there on the door, at the door, were Gentile, Roman, the men who'd come from the Gentile Roman Cornelius. And they were saying, will Peter come? Will Jewish Peter come and speak to us Gentiles? Now, before that vision, that morning, Peter would have said, no, I'm a strict Jew, I won't mix with you. But he had that vision. The Lord was speaking to him, and don't ever call anything that I've made impure. So Peter said, yeah, I'll come. I'll come. And when he got to Caesarea, where Cornelius' house was, the house was full of Gentiles, full of people. And Peter preached, and people got saved, and people received the Spirit. It was like a mini Pentecost, if you like. People got saved. People got baptized. And Peter sums it up in chapter 10, verses 34 and 35 of Acts chapter 10. Peter says, I now realize, it's now suddenly dawned on me, God does not show favoritism to just Jews, but he accepts men from every nation. We're all, not just Jews, not just middle-class white British, you know, not just respect, all people can be saved. Now in our passage, that's the background, really. We can finish with Acts now, Andy, but thank you for trying out this new all singing, all dancing technical system. But in Galatians, Peter is mixing. He knows it's okay because he's had that vision of Cornelius and the sheet of don't call anything on. He's had that vision. It's embedded in his mind. But when Jews came from James, from the mother church in Jerusalem, he separated himself from the Gentiles. He came back because he was afraid. They'd not had the council. They'd not had the official decision that it was okay to mix with Gentiles, and he was afraid. And that's why Paul calls him out in this letter, very harsh, really, verse 13 in Galatians. He says, hypocrisy, Peter. This is hypocrisy. You're running with the hare and the hounds. This isn't quite, you've been taken in by the heresy that, yes, you can be saved, but you must take in this Jewish, must obey Jewish laws. No, Paul says in verse 14, he says, that's not how the gospel works. You don't make Gentiles follow our Jewish laws and customs. Peter, you are not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. That's not how the gospel works. And later on, someone will be looking at in chapter 3, he says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free man, male nor female. This is chapter 3 and verse 28 when we come to it in the series. We are all one in Christ Jesus. But Peter is struggling a bit. He knows he's from this Cornelius vision. He knows it's okay. But this is before they'd had the official mandate from the Council of Jerusalem. There was nothing to refer it to. He could go back and say, but the highway code says, but the council in Jerusalem says. There's no way it's Jerusalem and the decision mentioned in Galatians. Galatians was clearly written before Acts 15, before they'd had that decision that they could. There's no reference to it at all. It's before anything was written down, before there was guidelines, and Peter was afraid. So who's right and who's wrong? How should I live? That's the question. Am I saved by observing religious laws? The laws of Moses, circumcision, food, festivals, what I can eat, what I can't eat. Or am I saved by grace through faith, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Paul gives his answer straight away. Marge read it for us in verses 15 and 16. He says, we know that we are not saved. Well, he uses the word justified, which is a posh way of saying saved. We know that we are not saved by obeying Jewish laws, but we are saved by faith and belief in Jesus Christ. And in fact, in verse 16, he says, by observing the law, no one will be saved. He spells it out just by keeping laws, by doing religion. That will not save you. That will not. You cannot be saved by works, by law, by religion. That goes against the grain today, you know, because folks would say, well, you know, he's a good egg, that person. If anybody deserved to get to heaven, it's him. He's always in church, always opens up in time. He's always there. Paul says in verse 17, of, I'm not making this up, you follow it. He says, absolutely not. That's what Paul says. He said, it don't work like that. In fact, verse 20, he says, the Christian life is lived simply by faith, by belief in the Son of God. Living by faith. That's what I'm trying to, that's why I said that little bit at the start. It's not for missionaries and special called out people living by special faith. It's for all of us. We are to live by faith, by belief, and by trust. So how does this play out? What's the application for us today? We are to live by faith and belief and trust, and that's our title, Living by Faith. We live by faith and belief and trust in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on that cross. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. That's what we live. That's how we live, by faith in what Jesus did on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Jesus died for me. That's all the theology you need. Well, you won't become a reverend or get a degree. But Jesus died for, Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, these children's songs that we used to sing. That's all we need. Jesus loves me. I don't trust in my good deeds. I don't trust in my law keeping. I don't trust in my pilgrimages. I trust in what Jesus did 2,000 years. He loved me and he gave himself for me. But not only do I live by faith in what Jesus did, I live by faith in what Jesus is now doing. Not just past tense when he died, present. Do you know what Jesus is doing right now? I'll tell you what he's doing right now. He's praying for you and he's praying for me. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says he ever lives. He's alive, present tense, he's living to make intercession. That's a church way of saying to pray. He's alive now praying for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful to know that you are being prayed for? We've prayed for those on the board today. We've got our missionary board at the back. And sometimes, let's be honest, we see the missionary board and the missionaries come and we think, oh, yeah, we've had a special prayer request and we maybe pray about it for a day, 2 days. Well, you spiritual people in Abbotsham, maybe 5 days. I tell you, you're on God's prayer list and he will not cross you off that list. He's praying for you and he's praying for me. I'll move on. What he's doing, this is the faith. Do you believe that? I live by faith and trust. That's what I believe. That's what our title is, living by faith in not only what he did, but what he's now doing and that he's praying for, but he's doing something else right now. He is preparing a place for us. Did you know that? John chapter 14, I go and right now I am preparing a place for you. Not quite ready yet because we're still here. June's wasn't quite ready last year, wasn't it? Remember, we thought she was. But it was ready earlier this year, wasn't it? The finishing touches to June's room, to June's mansion, if you like. I go and prepare a mansion, a room for you. That's what he's doing. And he's just, for some of us, it might just be the finishing touches. For some of us, that might be a long way off. We don't know. But that's what he's doing right now. He's praying for us, and he's preparing a place for us. We live our lives in faith, in belief, in trust in what Jesus has done, what he is doing, praying and preparing. Not only past tense, not only present tense, but we live by faith in what he's about to do. I tried to get another P. Past, present, and pending. But that's past, present, and future. What he's about to do in the future. Because one day he's going to come for us, isn't he? Well, he might call us first, like he did June. He call us to himself or claim us. going to come for us. And you know, just I'll give you just the, he's going to raise us. For those who are in the church, yeah, he's going to raise us. The dead in Christ will rise first. Do you believe that? That's what it says in the Bible. The dead in, he's going to reunite us, not only raise us, but reunite us, those who've gone before, together, forever, with June and Peter, sorry, I keep mentioning June, don't I? Together, reunited. What a prospect that is, isn't it? Reunited together, forever, with the Lord. Not only does he raise us and reunite us, he rewards us. He rewards us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Here's your reward. Here's your crown, if you like. Here's your crown. He'll raise us, he'll reunite us, he'll reward us. And it says he'll rejoice over us as well. He'll rejoice. Enter into the joy of my Father. Living by faith, living by trust in what Jesus did, what he's doing, and what he's about to do. The life I had in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Give my life to him. The life I now live, I live by faith. Not just the missionaries, not just the special people. I, as a Christian now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 258 is our final